where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with the service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
You walk through the door and are greeted with the friendly smell of barbecue smacking you right in the face. A pleasant host seats you at a table made of wood, in a chair made of wood, on a floor made of wood. We perfectly carve a chunk of meat from a bigger chunk of meat. Pavlovian pre-sweat dots your brow and the world melts away as you drift into a meat coma. Wait, was that just Pauly Shore? Welcome to Salt and Smoke.
Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Club Fitness has something for everybody, and we're extending our September offer. Join by September 30th and choose between free enrollment or no contract.
Free enrollment or no contract? I love choices.
And you can choose the workout that fits you.
Cardio? Free weights? Classes?
Yep, all at over 20 locally owned St. Louis locations.
This is easy. I choose Club Fitness.
Club Fitness, the right fit for everybody. Join in September and choose free enrollment or no contract. Some restrictions apply.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, we have a brand new addition to the movie TV segment with Dan Buffo, and here's what we're going to do. Some of the best recommendations that I have received on what to watch or what not to watch have come from you folks, emails. I watched Ozark primarily because of you. I watched Breaking Bad because of you. I watched Bloodline because of you. And I think many of you sort of have learned the kind of things that I like. I love documentaries. I love anything based on a true story. So what we're going to do after Dan kicks around a few things on TV and radio, TV and movies, rather, that you might want to see or avoid, we're going to take your calls. And all I'd like for you to do is if you've stumbled on something that you found addictive, that's a binge-watching worthy series or a movie, a doc, whatever, and you want to share it, please do. If you found something that everybody else seems to think is wonderful and got great reviews and you think it stinks, let us know that too. You can save us a lot of time. I'll give you the numbers now and I'll give them again before we do that. But for those of you who are able to either remember them or write them down, not right now, but coming soon, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. But it really is true. I've gotten emails from people that say, Frank, I know you liked this, this, and this. Then you would love this. Sometimes they're wrong. I don't like it. But usually, you're right on the mark. So without any further ado, that's French. That's right. I speak French. Let me introduce the guy who's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. The window you can find out a whole lot more about at windowworldstlouis.com. Would you please welcome Dan Buffa?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Dan, we're doing great. How are you?
It's good. I'm good. I got about 3 hours of sleep, so I'm...
Braggart?
I'm basically...
Were you Ubering?
Ubering last night. Yeah. Ubering until about 1 or 2, and then I go home, and I can't just go right... I don't know. When you come home from work, I can't just go right to bed. I have to watch some stuff. I finished up Luke Cage on Netflix, Season 2, and then all of a sudden it's like 3 and 4, and I'm like, wait a minute, I could take my kid to school in like 3 hours.
Well, so. I can't go to sleep right after I get home from work because it's 6:40. No. A little early.
Well, you could.
I could.
You could get a lot of sleep.
Yeah. Now,
but I can't do that.
Will you have an Uber story? Because you just told us something off the air. Don't give it away now. You just told us something.
I think I do have an Uber story. Can I have a short one?
Well, so we have your recommendations or your stay away from this list, and then we have your Uber story. And my goodness, what a chock full hour. Listeners suggesting things to watch or not watch.
I've always thought these people, you're right, people will suggest there's so much stuff out there to watch that one person can't just keep track of it. Getting recommendations
That's
is
right.
great.
Now, I will tell you that we are. Are through five episodes, we're ready for number six. My wife and I with Succession on HBO.
Oh yeah, it gets better. Ryan Cox, this is the father of not the father of the year. He is a decrepit dude, but you know what though? He's the best guy in that show.
No,
the
I
father.
Agree.
I mean.
Well, let's tell people what it's about. First of all, if you've ever wanted, and I imagine this is a pretty realistic, dead-on, spot-on look at what it's like to be on the inside of a very wealthy family.
And it's not just wealthy. They own this big media company.
Right.
And everybody...
They're powerful.
They're powerful. And it's funny is that, you know, Adam McKay, who started out his career as a comedy guy, and Will Ferrell, they produced this show.
Yeah.
They did a movie that was nominated for an Oscar with Steve Carell. It was about the stock market. Big Short, is that what it was called? It was nominated for Oscars. They did that, and they do Succession as well.
And there's nothing comedic about this.
No, it's very serious.
The language is, the F word is in every episode
every
785 times. But what you need to know is that we sit there, and I think, and I said this to her, I said, I'll bet you this is pretty close to what it's like to live in a family this wealthy and powerful. It's almost dysfunctional. On the surface, you know, charity balls and banquets and all dressed up.
Because whenever you see those high-rise buildings, you go, you know, I bet you, I want to know the family that's behind that building. Like, you know, they don't have normal Thanksgiving dinners.
No
they sit there and they just cut each other down. Like the siblings, they never say anything nice to each other. It's always like, oh, you know, and whenever they try to get ahead, the older sibling cuts the younger one down. I mean, there's a Culkin brother in this show.
I don't recognize anybody in this show, but they're all who is the dad?
Ryan Cox. He's kind of like that guy in the movies. The guy you look on the screen, you go, I've seen him in 100 things.
Okay.
He's like the Philip Seymour Hoffman kind of guy before he
got.
He's
good
really
in
big.
This. So I don't want to go to people who don't
and
know.
And Jeremy
what I'm
Strong
about.
Too. I mean, he's good.
Well, I don't want to go too long with it, but it's called Succession, which I assume is a reference to the heirs in the family, the line of succession.
That's what it's all about. Who's going to get the throne?
But right.
It is coming back for a second season, and there's and I'll make a point in this later. And in my segment here, but it is nicely 10 episodes. It's not 13.
Well,
it's not 15.
I will also tell you that like Billions, they're going to speak a language most of us don't understand.
No.
I don't understand the language of big business.
Stocks and and money. And
acquisitions
companies.
And mergers. I don't know anything about that stuff. Okay, what do you
it's
have?
Crazy. Well, I have a little indie film that I almost would call a horror movie.
Okay.
It's true story. True crime. Back
I like the way you broke that into two syllables because otherwise it sounds like horror.
I'm telling you,
like
it
a
does.
Horror movie.
So does anybody know about the Borden family back in the 1892? Lizzie Borden.
Took an axe, gave her husband 40
whacks. They made a movie out of this.
What?
You know about this, Limey?
Is this the TV show with Christina Ricci in it?
No.
Did
they make a TV show out of it, too?
Hang on. Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. Yes. When she saw
which...
Now, hang on. Which is it now? You're ruining the poem.
It's what?
It says the father and the stepmother.
Oh.
Huh. I never heard the poem with stepmother in it.
Oh,
Lizzie Borden, our head of research is looking it up right now. Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother, stepmother, 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done.
It doesn't say stepmother in the
went
poem.
Back and gave her 41.
Well, in the movie, it's
you stepped on my poem again.
And you were wrong.
Four times I've tried this.
Is it father? Gave her father 40
no.
whacks?
No.
Okay, the makers of the movie was wrong.
All right, what does it say, Tim?
The rhyme based on Lizzie Borden and the mother and the murder of her parents is Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks.
When
she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41.
Gave her father 40. She killed them both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's Lizzie Borden.
Wow. Well, the people that made the movie, in the movie, it's his stepmother. And I don't think they would make
money. You just won't
money.
Give it up, will you?
I won't.
Maybe the movie's wrong.
I hope not. People maybe that put that much money into a movie, but it does have Kristen Stewart, who everybody knows.
Tim, have you ever seen the paddle? Does he not get the paddle for that?
Tim, have you ever seen the look he gives when you catch him and say he did something wrong? It's like a killer.
I start to move away.
You do. You move
in
you
the movie. In the movie, it's a stepmother. If they just went off topic or did it.
Oh,
good for them.
You know, you hang on a second. No, Dan's doing something that I do. When he gets annoyed, he gets the Jack Nicholson eyebrows.
Oh, I
like
do?
They arch up really, like really prominent.
I can't see myself, so I need to study this.
You've got
look.
Jack.
Now you know that if you like. Don't smile at all, you're scary looking. I mean,
yeah.
You,
really?
You, yes,
yeah.
Nice. You have that ability. Dan Howard Morton. That,
oh yes,
know, that
oh,
ability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Howard was a sweetheart.
No, we didn't say he wasn't a sweetheart. We said he has the ability to look like he's going to kill you.
But yes. I will say, I didn't know anything about this infamous murder thing before I watched this movie. But I tell you, it is graphic.
Now, what is this called?
It is called Lizzie. And has anybody ever seen Big Love on HBO?
Mm-hmm.
Chloe Sevigny, the blonde.
Wife 2.
She plays Lizzie Borden, and Kristen Stewart plays the maid.
Is this a Bridget. Movie for the theater?
It's a movie in the theater.
Okay.
It is at Plaza Frontenac in Tivoli, at least through the next week. But
ooh, Plaza Frontenac. Dan, give them your Preston von der Herst.
Oh,
voice.
Yeah.
Here, let's make up a quick scene.
okay.
I'll be your grandpa, Walter.
Okay.
This is just the voice I like to do lately. And you're my grandson. And I'm telling you in the scene that I want to go see a movie, and you give me your Frontenac voice that we're going to Frontenac to see Lizzie, okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Well, I'm getting God darn Chad sitting around his house. I'd like to go see a movie or something.
Oh, grandfather, I have a perfect movie to go see. It's called Lizzie. We'll go to Plaza Frontenac.
Yeah, where'd you get that damn stupid voice you talk with?
This is how I talk every day.
You never talked that way when you were younger. When you moved into Ladue, a town and country, or whatever, you got all uppity on me, you start talking like that.
I moved to Ladue.
Yeah, well, knock it off.
That's the scene. That's it.
It's called Grandpa Goes to the Movies.
I saw that at Plaza Frontenac. That played out just like that in front of the clothes
shop. Here's what I love about going to Plaza Frontenac to the movies, and we do like twice a year, is... If it's an art film, and many times it is.
It is, yeah.
I've said this before. All the people walking out act like they liked it and understood it. Because it's just not cool to walk out and go, I didn't get it.
Mm. You have to, like, get them in the parking lot and go, okay, now what did you really think?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The thing is, those theaters are claustrophobic, so you're... You're sitting right next to each other. They're not really put together.
Sylvia, this is a fantastic movie, wasn't it? And I'm the only guy in the group walking out saying to my wife, I didn't get it.
Because I remember seeing No Country for Old Men there. Oh, a two-hour movie. My brother and my dad, we were all just like stuck together.
If I remember, good movie, bad ending, just sort of leaves you going, is that it?
I am one of the people that didn't like it as much as everybody else. I thought the first half of the film was great, where you have Josh Brolin's character being chased by
Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem.
Who was beyond scary.
Yeah, he played this he had this cattle gun.
Yeah.
And he chased him, but then halfway through the movie, it just kind of went in a different direction. I just didn't like the way that all of a sudden, halfway through, it just became a movie about Bardem's character, and Brolin's character just goes away.
We're doing what we always do, and it's my fault. Sidetracked. Back to Lizzie.
Plaza Frontenac movies. Okay. Back to Lizzie.
Yes.
this movie, first thing is, if you like slasher movies, they don't hold back in the actual scene where Lizzie takes the axe. And it is, the 40 things is very true, because it is graphic. Do not pull the camera away. It is a chilling movie. If you're going to make a movie about Lizzie Borden in 1892, who, according to all accounts, killed her parents with a small axe, and the Bridget, now that the rumor is that Bridget, who she was in love with the maid, Bridget, played by Kristen Stewart, who everybody will know from the Twilight movies, it's good acting. And I will say that, you know, it's nothing you're going to hang your hat on. You won't go in the street and campaign for people to watch it. But if you want to know more about the story, I didn't know a lot about it. And by the end of the movie, I was kind of freaked out. I mean, it just tells you that if you're a parent and you're mean to your kid, better make sure there's no axes in the house. Because at the end of the movie, they don't hold back. I mean, because the thing is, the father was kind of abusive of Lizzie and the maid. He was an overbearing father. And they kind of develop a sexual relationship, Lizzie and the maid. And so they kind of came together and went up against the parents. And in the end of the movie,
you know, this is a little bit more graphic.
You said they
had a sexual relationship and then they came together.
Yeah.
That's a bit more than.
Oh, there you go.
That's in the theaters.
It is in the theaters. Yeah, it's at Plaza Frontenac too. It's sophisticated sexual relationships, but it's not going to do much in the theaters. People aren't going to go watch it. If you're a Kristen Stewart fan, they will. But I liked it because I thought it was well acted and they did not hold back. Because if you're going to make a movie about the murders,
yeah.
And you hold back when they actually, you know, kill the parents, the movie's going to be bad.
You know, the real-life kids that said, we've had enough, the Menendez brothers, really? Didn't they kill both their parents?
Yeah.
So parents, watch out. He's up on the discipline.
That's based on a true story,
It's based
correct?
On a true story. And the thing is that, you know, spoiler alert, she gets away with it. Because people just couldn't believe that she would do that. In that day and age, saying a young woman like Lizzie Borden would do that is just insane. They never solved it.
All right, ARDs. You know, Lizzie.
This is the kind of thing where I want to throw out a 3, but I'm not sure because, you know, we're doing out of 4, right?
Out of 4. 4 is the best.
I'm going to go 2. Is 2.5 good? I mean, I always thought 2.5 is kind of a letdown.
2.5, I'm on the fence. I may or may not go. If you say 3, I'd probably check it out.
I don't think this is really for everybody, so I'm on the fence. I'm going to say it's 2.5.
Well, the master of the control board can handle this.
I got you.
Take it, Limey.
Limey's going to hate
me. Here we go. 2.5.
All right, Dean. All right.
See, you misjudged him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't. That's a challenge.
I think he'd be mad at me. But he likes a challenge.
So when he
a talent.
Never.
When she hit him with the axe, had an axe hole, right?
She chops his face up. I mean, the prosthetics and the makeup.
Okay, Dan, did you say something?
No, I didn't say anything. Okay. I was just
I thought you said something.
He asked a question.
See, when Dan, I got to explain something to you. When once a day, when Dan says something that's just
supposed to be funny.
Are you going to let me finish the sentence?
Are you going to let me finish the sentence?
It's my segment. Dan.
It's my segment.
Just let him finish.
Okay.
It's your segment.
I give up.
Settle but on. It's our show. See.
All right, news guy. Go ahead.
No, you can go ahead, Tim.
All right. What do you got?
Go ahead, Tim.
When he says something once per show that's so ridiculous that none of us laugh at it.
Once per show.
You can't laugh at it also. When we all give him the silent treatment, you have to chime in at
it's
that part
Dan
of the show.
Thing, yeah. It's a Dan thing.
It ruins the whole flow.
United are the Dans.
We unite by the Dans.
When
that's
we scorn him, we scorn him all for scorn, scorn for one.
Dan, I'm going to tell you right now.
Scorn from one, scorn from all.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Next week. He remind me next week.
The one Dan's scorn, unite.
All scorn. I cannot laugh.
One scorn, all scorn.
What if he does it twice?
Keep on rolling. You got to keep on rolling.
Yeah.
Rare that he'll do something
keep
twice for show that's so humiliating.
Dan, I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize now.
Next.
Rare.
What's
all
next?
Right. So, Limey, you had a good Facebook post about Iron Fist, which is a Marvel Netflix series, and you're going to watch it again. I watched Luke Cage, so we each watched our Netflix Marvel series, and I will tell maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't. They don't have to be 13 episodes. I've said this before, Frank. Jack Ryan on Amazon is really good because it's 8 episodes, and you don't feel like 1 minute, one scene is wasted. On Netflix, on these Marvel series, they feel like they just have an extra 6 episodes. And now look, I mean, I know you don't watch Marvel, but what do you think is, if people tell you to watch a show, and let's just say it's a season. What is, I mean, when you hear 13, do you go,
No, not if it's good.
Not if it's good. See, for me, I like 8 to 10. What do you think, Lyman?
I think about 10. I think that most of these Marvel stories could have been wrapped up in 10. There's a lot of kind of filler.
Tim, what do you think? If somebody tells you to watch a TV show, how many episodes do you want it to be, or does it even matter?
Well, somebody told me to watch that Kevin Costner thing. Where
Yellowstone,
Yeah, I made it through 2 episodes and got bored and quit.
Oh, no, Tim, you got to go back.
I know.
The sister is so nasty.
I will say this. When I first started watching Dexter, it took me 3 times. My buddy said, you have to watch it, and I made it through the season, and the first season is still the best, I think. I think it tailed off in the 4th.
Tim, you got to do 2 more Yellowstone.
Walking Dead was the same way. I watched 2 of them. I just gave up.
So I'm watching Better Call Saul, and during the commercials, I see commercials. This is like Rick Grimes' final season. That show doesn't look good. Was it once good, and did it tail off?
No, Saul lost me a long time.
Walking Dead.
His character was never as good as... Oh, what are we talking about?
I see previews for Walking Dead, and it just looks bad. Was it once good?
Walking Dead was pretty good, but eventually it just kind of... The storyline was just basically on a cycle.
Okay.
You know, they were struggling, they showed up somewhere, they were safe, and then all of a sudden it just all goes to hell.
I see the guy from Love Actually, and I go, man, that guy, he's an action star. It looks good, but I like Better Call Saul. I think they're telling the pre-story of Breaking Bad. But also, I love Jonathan Banks' Mike, fixer guy.
Can I explain something? He's great. I noticed this.
Yes,
it happens more and more and more. And it's our fault, too.
Yes.
I'm sure the people listening. We start on one movie.
We're
on Better Call Saul for some reason.
Well, no, it's a
TV show.
We were
talking about a Marvel movie, though.
The Marvel Netflix series, Luke Cage.
Called?
It's Luke Cage.
Yeah.
He's an indestructible superhero who is like the king of Harlem, or he wants to be. And the seasons are too long.
What was Iron Fist?
Iron Fist is another one. It was a character brought out by Marvel in, I think, the 80s. And it was basically when, like, you know, martial arts and kung fu were at their height. So they just crapped out this character called Danny Rand, who is the Iron Fist. It's all martial arts and stuff.
He gets his powers from, he defeated a dragon. And when he punches people, his fist lights up and almost like gold.
I have been screwed over by the movie industry so many times, and I should be madder than I am. I wrote a screenplay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go.
And it'll never see the light of day. And you're gonna. I wrote this, and I thought, this is it. I've got it. And it's about a young guy goes away to college in the dorm, on his own for the first time, and then in the opening scene, he's in the emergency room. Third degree burns to his left hand. It's called I Ironed My Fist.
That might be better than
thanks,
the Netflix
thanks,
series.
Thanks,
Peavy. Hey, Tim.
Can we laugh?
Can you have that same speech with Dan and only change Dan to Frank? when Frank says something that's so bad that we all laugh in
okay,
silence.
All right, got it. Yeah. Dan, no. Frank, yes.
Solidarity.
Still laugh at Frank even when he says something that's as bad as what Dan said.
I agree.
Rule the show. It's in the company handbook.
Moving on to news.
Okay.
Good news for Mel Gibson. He is going to direct a remake of The Wild Bunch. And if there's anybody that can do a really good version of The Wild Bunch, it is crazy.
So has the world forgiven Mel Gibson?
Oh, yeah, he's back.
Okay.
He is. He's doing a movie with Frank Grillo called Boss Level. He's doing more. He directed Hacksaw Ridge. He's back. He's, you know, I mean, for you think about all the people that got, you know, accused of sexual assault, and all Mel Gibson did was just kind of get a little drunk, say a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah. Frank, a little drunk, Frank, a little anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
You know.
I wonder how many people know. He was banished for seven years.
I wonder how many people know who Frank Willow is.
Frank Grillo.
Oh, Grillo. Okay.
And he is starring in a movie with Mel Gibson. So he's back in movies, but he's going to make his dent the rest of his career as a director. He's very good. He's a very good director. Hacksaw Ridge, Braveheart, of course. I think if anybody can do a remake of Wild Bunch, it's Mel Gibson. So he's going to do a remake of that.
Frank Grillo's family owns those Grillo pads.
See, you're learning.
I'm gonna text Frank Grillo that you said him.
And you know, Dan, you would think that, well, if we humiliate him and do that enough, he'll stop doing that.
No.
But no, he won't.
Dan's unstoppable.
He is unstoppable.
We did get our first look at, and this is a movie, a project that I'm really apprehensive about, is The Joker. It's just Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker, and we got our first look at Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker.
I would say he'd be good.
He is, and the thing is, the thing that catches me is it's Todd Phillips, the director of the Hangover movies, and Old School, is doing a version of the Joker. Now, he's got De Niro's in the film. It's kind of a gritty, low-budget movie, which is great. There's just so many versions of the Joker out there. Jared Leto, mm-hmm. Heath Ledger, Nicholson did it back in the day. But
Heath Ledger, the best.
The best. And I think arguably one of the best performances that I've seen in my lifetime. This is as a character and an actor doing it. But after seeing these pictures, and maybe you've seen him liming, maybe you haven't, he looks really good. Because it's going to tell you how he became the Joker. We have never seen that on film or even on TV. How he became, what pushed him to be the Joker. And I do agree. If we turn back time and Ledger didn't play him, I'd probably say either Johnny Depp or Joaquin Phoenix could really play the Joker well.
I'll tell you, the guy who has stepped into Heath Ledger's shoes, I think, and is carrying on his level of performance is Baby Ruth Ledger.
Oh, what an idiot.
What was that?
What?
That was stupid.
And you know what? Had you not done that, that was a hysterical line.
It would have been hilarious. I hit the wrong button, you know?
You edit that, I'll start again.
All right.
Radio edit.
You know who's doing a good job of following along in the footsteps of Heath Ledger?
Who's
Baby
that?
Ruth Ledger.
Thank you.
And you know, Tim, thank you, because that was, I could tell that was genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it. Mm. Does anybody want to donate 2 hours of charity watching to Gotti? It's out on Netflix.
No, it's because, because I've heard even you say how horrible it is.
I read
this is John Travolta.
I read a review where somebody, he did a blow-by-blow review of the movie, him being in the theater and how bad it was. He was the only person in the theater, and he was laughing unintentionally at a very serious movie.
Who? This reviewer?
The critic. Travolta? He's like, he basically took you from before the movie to after the movie. He goes, I just lost 2 hours of my life. I'm never getting back. So if you want to do, if you love John Travolta, number one, or two, you just want to go, you know what? I got 2 hours to kill, to give away in my life. John Gotti, or Gotti, directed by Kevin Connolly, who's known for Entourage, was given the story of John Gotti. That was the first mistake. Is on Redbox.
Here's where I disagree with you. You said if you really love John Travolta,
if you really,
but
love.
This kind of thing could be something you don't want to see because
it might ruin your memory.
Yes,
then.
You may all of a sudden go, well, maybe I don't like John Travolta.
I guess
that
if you're a person that's okay, I'm going to watch anything he does.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll do it, but man, I haven't heard one good review. Frank, I can usually find a good review, even a Battlefield Earth, that movie that Travolta did that was terrible. Somebody liked it. So, yeah, don't go watch unless you want to give John Travolta some charity time.
So, Gotti, no watch. ARDs.
No way, no. Okay. But that's all I got for movies. Lizzie is good if you like Kristen Stewart and you like a slasher flick. Gibson's doing The Wild Bunch. And Joaquin Phoenix's Joker may just be pretty good.
One of our students is raising his hand. Yes, Limey.
Hello, sir. Well, since we're done with that talk, you wanted lists and names of things to watch, binge watch,
I
right?
People to call.
Well, I kick it off with two, because I've got one person who texted over.
Sure.
Did you watch the Netflix documentary Making a Murderer?
Yes.
Anyone seen that? Yeah.
I did.
The sequel is coming out in October. So that's going to be kind of interesting. One TV show that I started watching, and it's not something you want to watch before you go to bed, and it's on Netflix, and it is called I Am a Killer. Mm. And basically, these interviewers go into and onto death row, and they interview these people on death row, like, you know, these inmates. And each episode is one inmate, and it goes through, and it tells their story. And I mean, nothing is held back.
Okay,
in this.
But it's real. They're not actors.
No, they are not. Killer. There's no like, there's no reenactments or anything like that.
That reminds me of that David Fincher series, Mindhunter, where they basically interview serial killers.
It's exactly
you
like
know
that.
What they're like and why they did what they did.
But this one is real life, and it is. After watching it, I had to watch an episode of Family Guy or South Park
just to come down,
just to like change my mindset.
I don't know why. It's like slowing down for a car wreck, but there's something about that stuff where you can't not watch it because you're in disbelief.
I know.
You go, I can't believe that a human being is this cold.
And, well, one guy who was in there, he was in prison, I think, for like 8 to 10 years or something like that. He wasn't happy with it. He wanted to be upgraded. So he killed his cellmate.
So he could stay in longer?
No, so that he could be put onto death row, so that he could be charged with something and then upgraded to a better... It's kind of like condition of living, and he's just this stone cold face. And afterwards, he looks in the camera and he says, "Yeah, so you know, I wanted a better room. I killed him." And then he chuckles, and it is the most disturbing thing to hear a person say, to just say, you know, "Yeah, I killed him,"
but
just so casually.
But everybody should watch some of that. Here's why: at one time, that guy was among us. He was out walking.
Yeah,
the
street. He was.
His same mind, same killer instincts, but he was walking around.
That's the thing about killers. I mean, they could just be walking. Yeah, right. They could be.
Oh, I say it all the time. Every one of us right now, within 10 miles of us, there's a murderer.
Like, oh yeah,
mm-hmm. One right here in this studio.
Murderer
could be Dan Strauss. Never laugh at his jokes.
No, it's not Dan.
I have a question for D-Buff.
Oh,
I do too. By the way,
yes, the Kevin Hart movie. Did you see that?
School.
Yes.
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, there's movies, if I can go see it, But if it falls on a night where I have to get a babysitter, it's going to have to be really good looking. And that movie falls on a night where I need to get a babysitter, and that is getting the no-go for me. I'm not a big fan of Kevin Hart. I think he's kind of funny.
Yeah, I'm not either.
But I just think he's like Melissa McCarthy. He relies on one kind of joke, right. One kind of way to do it. Now, it could be really good, but I don't know. That's a movie that I'm probably going to wait till it comes out. Like, if you watch it and you say it's really good, I might watch it, but I'm not going to catch the screening.
Can I ask you a question about Batman? Because I haven't seen all of them. I remember when Michael Keaton was Batman at one point, I don't think I've seen them all.
Kilmer and Clooney.
But one thing I was surprised you didn't talk about today is that I did read either today or yesterday that John Hamm is throwing his hat in the ring to be the next Batman.
I saw this yesterday.
My question is, who makes that decision? Does somebody copyright Batman? Is it just the producer of the film? Who makes the decision?
Well, it's Warner Brothers kind of owns. They have made every Batman movie, and it's Warner Brothers and it's DC Films. So right now, they're kind of in a tricky spot. Ben Affleck's probably not coming back. And the reason I don't like John Hamm for it is because it's just like Ben Affleck's one. He's 40. John Hamm is 47.
Yeah, I'm thinking Batman's a tough, buff guy who can kick a little A and smack him around.
You think late 30s?
Yeah.
John Hamm, I mean, I've met John. I've seen John Hamm in public. He's kind of lanky.
Have to get really big. Like, Ben Affleck was always a big guy. So when he got muscled up, I just think they've done that. The older, kind of more angry Batman. Now I think I want to say Matt Reeves is directing a Batman film, and they're thinking younger. They're thinking like Jake Gyllenhaal, and I think not him, but just somebody in his age range.
Who was Batman when Heath Ledger was the Joker?
Christian Bale.
I thought he was great. Yeah,
I think he's the best because I think he's number one. He's a great actor. Mm-hmm. He filled out the suit without really having to go. Oh yeah.
Plus he's
out.
Got an edge. He's got a nasty edge. John Hamm doesn't have that nasty edge.
For me,
agreed.
That he needs.
I love John Hamm. I think he's great, but I think he'd make a great Harvey Dent. I think he looks like. I mean, if they want to do an origin tale of if they're doing the Joker, you should do of how Harvey Dent really became Harvey Dent.
Tim, have you never seen a Batman movie?
I think I did see the one with Michael Keaton.
Well,
you haven't seen Dark Knight?
If you watch Dark Knight with Heath Ledger, you'll see a performance.
That's the best.
Like
really, Tim, if you're going to watch one Batman movie and never watch one again, was it The Dark Knight?
Mm. Was it Batman or Batman Returns?
Batman Begins was the first one with Bale.
No, I'm talking about way back when with Nicholson. I mean, it's Nicholson as
Batman.
Joker.
Batman Returns was the second one.
There you go.
But then Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman.
Are you old enough to remember who the Joker was on TV?
Cesar Romero?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was another one.
Who was it?
Now, maybe it wasn't the Joker. Frank Gorshin. Wasn't
Frank Gorshin was the Riddler.
Oh, you're right. He was the Riddler.
Oh, that's right. But, yeah, I mean, I still think they're trying to outdo Christopher Nolan. I think they should have stopped. But it's like the Joker. They're doing all these different Jokers, and they're doing all these different Batmans. I don't think they're ever going to get anybody as good as Christian Bale. I just think Ben Affleck was good, but you could feel Ben Affleck trying to play Batman. It was an effort there.
Yeah. Ben Affleck, to me, is a one-expression, one-dimensional actor.
See, I disagree. I think he's like good, but I don't think he's a good movie star. I don't think he could be the lead. He has to be a supporting character. So, John Hamm, while I like him, I think he's too old. I think they've done that, and I think he should play Harvey Dent.
Okay.
What about Kevin Bacon?
Ooh, Kevin! See, Kevin Bacon.
No! You missed it.
Guy.
No, you missed it, Dan. It's another poor attempt. Oh. Ham,
I'm
bacon.
Falling,
no, Dan. Dan, don't
I'm
even.
Just, go in
no, what Dan. About, it, you have to learn to identify.
He's doing it on purpose.
It's
now.
Feeble attempts.
See, I'm an all-inclusive kind of guy. What about Kevin Hart as Batman? You know, a fine.
Hey man, what's going on, man? I'm a fight crime now.
Put that sword down. You know what I'm saying?
Imagine.
No,
you gotta do the great Turner voice. This winter, you haven't seen him this short, or this angry, or this funny.
Hey man, what's going on? I'm gonna fight crime now.
I'll tell you who I think Batman ought to be.
Get that lady her purse back.
No, Batman, without any doubt. And you talk about huge box office. Peter Dinklage.
Oh yeah,
Batman.
You that can't see it coming.
Oh my God.
Hey, here it is. He's the size of a bat.
Yeah. And here's the trailer.
It'd be little Batman.
Little bat.
Mini bat.
Mini Batman.
Now, here's the trailer. This summer, be very careful because this Batman,
you might very well accidentally step on.
Peter Dinklage is Batman.
This July, you can't even see him coming. He's down by your toenail.
What's interesting about Dinklage is a tremendous actor.
He's very good.
He's a great actor.
That voice coming out of what you would think would sound like this,
he's got a very mature, rich,
I'm surprised
baritone
he hasn't done
voice.
More and cartoons or voiceovers.
Every time you see him with a woman, it's like a regular-sized woman.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if these hot women are with Peter Dinklage because they got to be thinking of themselves as he's hitting on them.
They're curious.
I'm curious. I'll go there one time. Maybe
and they're drunk when they do.
Well, he's married. And really, in Three Billboards Outside of Missouri, he goes on a date with Frances McDormand, and when he's standing next to her, it's just like, you get Peter on.
I don't remember that. That's in the movie?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Remember he has the crush. He's like the town guy that plays pool with her, and he has the crush on her.
He's the spinner.
He is, yeah.
Yeah. He's the spinner.
He is.
He's good.
He is. Wow.
He just kind of plays it straight. It's not really a big, great role for him, but yeah, he gets to go on a date with Frances McDormand.
The other great role for him, another remake of Walking Tall, starring Peter Dinklage.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
And you know that in his wildest dreams, first of all, at one time he's thinking, I'll never get a real acting job.
No.
Look at me. I'm a dwarf or midget or whatever he is. And look at the success this guy's
had. Game of Thrones. He's one of the best parts about the HBO series Game of Thrones. And the thing is, they play off that he's a dwarf, that he's like the brother in the family that he's a Lannister, right? He's a Lannister. Yep. Nobody, he's like, you're not going to do anything. And he turns out to be the most powerful Lannister, maybe behind Cersei, maybe the second powerful Lannister.
That's why I didn't get in the show, because midgets didn't have that kind of power back then.
They were smart.
They don't have that kind of power now. It's like all these old school barbarians are going to, like, you know, bow to your leader.
Don't expect them to do much.
Well, they bow to him because that's how they have to get down to talk
to
him.
Talk to him right out.
Talk to him. Your voice cracked.
The Peter Dinklage is Batman, Little Bat.
Little Bat, mini
coming out next July.
He just walks around sticking his nose in everybody's business.
You know, when I feel bad for him, like at the award shows, and I've seen him where they go, and the winner is...
Put the mic down.
And the winner is... Peter Dinklage! No, when he has to run up the steps to get to the stage, they lower the mic, but I'm thinking, he's thinking to himself... Why couldn't they have made? Oh, he doesn't sound like that. Why couldn't they have made these steps closer?
Yeah, you
know, give him a little trampoline, just run out there and boom.
It's funny. they kind of play in his height in the movie, the Christmas film Elf.
Oh, I love that.
Well, Will Ferrell goes, "Is he? Hey, there's an elf here." He goes, "Don't call me an elf." Yeah. He goes, "Oh, he's an angry elf," and he goes down and drop kicks Will Ferrell into the boardroom.
Call me elf one more time.
Let me ask you a question. Would you for $100 million? If you could be transformed into Peter Dinklage, that size man, would you do it for $100 million?
No, of course.
No, for a whole life?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, $100 million.
You would be that size for $100 million for the rest of your life.
Heck yeah.
For
I'd $100
million? Dollars?
Oh, man.
I'd buy gold encrusted stilts.
I'd do it for $100
million.
I'd do it for $10 million.
Yeah, I was going to say $100 million, man.
Well, you know what? We've all seen some of the men that attractive women go for just because they have money. You'd get chicks. They'd be curious.
Seth Rogen. Who probably gets more ladies, Peter Dinklage or Seth Rogen?
Well, Peter Dinklage is married, so let's just exact
to a normal size.
No, to a believe, I don't even know the correct word to use, but he's got a wife.
Let's go with midget. Is she a midget?
I'm not saying she
is. She little?
She is small. Person. She is small.
Oh yeah, there's little people and there's dwarfs.
Dwarf, yeah. Is it dwarf or is it like
little people are all proportionate? No,
her name is Erica Schmidt and she's 5'6".
Really? Yeah. You're wrong.
Right? Look at that.
Wow.
Fake news.
All right,
Bearer of fake news.
She pretty? Swear he had a minute.
They have a child.
Good for
their child is the Alton Giant.
I guess on Wikipedia, just for throw out, his wife's 5'6". Guess how tall Peter Dinklage is.
I'm going to say 4'2".
I'm going to go 3'8".
Climbing? Don't look it up. Look at me.
Cheater. I'm looking at Erica Schmidt. I'm going to say...
How tall is he?
4 foot.
Dan?
Even.
Dan?
What do you think?
Which Dan?
You, Dan Strauss.
Oh.
Trouser Mouse.
4'3".
He's 4'5". Wow. So his wife's 5'6". Now, just to put that in perspective, you're 6 foot tall.
She isn't.
That would mean if your wife's height ratio was the same as Peter Dinklage, your wife would be 7'1".
Wow.
Man. Woman.
That's not all bad.
He's basically about as tall as my son.
Legs for days.
My son went to the doctor's. He weighs 60 pounds. He's 7 years old. He weighs 60 pounds. He's almost 5 feet tall. My kid is going to be a...
How old is he?
He's seven.
Seven?
He's going to be a tank.
He's 5 foot tall?
Just about. He's getting close.
Wouldn't that be something if your wife, and you don't even know it, had given birth to the next Alton Giant? What part of town do you live in?
South City.
The South City Giant.
Yeah.
South City Giant. There you go.
You'd be rich.
This fall, South City Giant. Sorry, Vincent Buffa.
Do you want to speak to a third Dan who's on the phone?
Sure, I do. Let's make it even more confusing.
Oh, man.
We don't have much time, but if you have a movie or TV recommendation, something to stay away from, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. What do you got?
Hi, guys. I am in the PM.
Thank you.
Say tonight there's a new Ken Burns documentary on PBS.
Yes.
Called The Mayo Clinic.
Yep.
Faith, Hope, and Science. And I worked at Mayo Clinic for 18 years, so I'm looking forward to seeing this. And it is a great story. I've read many a book on the Doctor's Mayo, and I invite you guys in. I know, Frank, you like documentaries, so...
And anything, I don't think Ken Burns has ever had a flop. Anything he does is first class. So
I'm really looking forward to... I'm going to record it and watch it.
When does this start? Does it start tonight?
It starts tonight. 7 o'clock. I think it's a 2-hour film, actually.
And that's PBS.
It's PBS, yeah. So
perfect.
Love to have you watch it and then comment on it sometime. I listen every day. So thanks. Keep up the good work. Love the new crew. And thank you, Frank.
All right, Dan. I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, Mayo. Bye-bye. I saw Ken Burns interview. That looks tremendous.
He can't miss.
No,
yeah.
He doesn't miss.
He's almost like Christopher Nolan. Even when he kind of makes something that's not great, it's still worth watching.
It's still better than most. Let me get Ed in here. Ed, welcome to 590 The Fan. What do you have for us?
Hi, gang. How you doing? I'm AM with PM.
Thank you, Ed.
I might have missed a Tuesday where you talked about this, but I was curious if anyone there has watched the series Longmire.
Yes.
Yes.
I just started it.
Yeah. It's good.
Excellent.
It's a good show.
Excellent. I don't normally binge watch stuff, but I kind of binge watched my wife and I a couple weeks ago, and I keep hearing rumors. I've been reading a little bit about that they're thinking about bringing it back. I was wondering, Dan, if you heard anything about that.
You know, it's one of those shows where if it leaves one network, like Friday Night Lights was a show that was originally on NBC,
right,
and then it went to a different network.
Look at Nashville, same thing.
Nashville, same thing. So I think there's always a chance. It just depends. Most of the actors are available to do it. I mean, Robert Taylor doesn't do a ton of movies, and Lou Diamond Phillips is in it. But I think they'd be open to it. I think when it comes to TV, if the creators want to do it, I think there's always a chance for it to come back.
And I got another one for you, Godless with Jeff Bridges.
Oh, man, it's great.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's
won an Emmy for it.
Yep.
Jeff Daniels won an Emmy. Didn't like one.
All right, Ed. I appreciate the call.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, see, we're going to do this every week.
We'll just let
listeners chime in here.
I didn't know about the Ken Burns thing. I didn't know he had something new out, but now I'm going to watch that.
Oh, he's been all over the TV being interviewed by people. And here's the thing. I never do the texting. I don't like to talk to people. But if you want to text in a suggestion, maybe not today. It's too late. But next Tuesday, it's the 855 number, 855-282-8255. That's the text number. Do you have an Uber story before you get away?
Yeah, I got a really quick one. Last night, I was driving. Monday nights are usually an okay night if there's a Cardinal game.
We should probably always set this up for people who may not know.
Hang on a second.
I've been driving.
Hold on. Here's a segment. The intro.
Yeah, please. Ooh. Please, Dan. Thank you.
Sorry, Limey.
Okay, now it's official.
God, it's
Now we can talk about Uber. How many trips?
You make that so I can play that when they get in my car.
How many trips have you made?
1,876.
Woo! In like a year.
In about 14 months. Yeah, I've been doing it since July of last year.
All right, so what's your Uber story?
So last night, I dropped somebody off on off Washington Avenue and 23rd Street. So I'm naturally going to go back downtown because that's where all the rides are at that time of night, right after midnight. And I immediately see two cop cars coming up behind me. And of course, if you're ever driving and cop cars come up behind you, you get a little nervous.
I get excited.
But they are just racing around me. And then I see two cars from an adjacent street going east as well. And they're all going about two blocks from me. And apparently, and there's ambulances, there's people gathered around. Somebody's been shot. And
Oh, yeah, I saw that on the news.
I don't know if anybody around here has seen an actual body. And you can see it like we're right next to a patio, and where the TVs are at, which are pretty close. That's where this body was at. It's maybe about 10 yards, maybe not too far away from me. I can see it in my car, and it's just laying. A guy is laying there, doubled over on his stomach. Cops are there. Four cop cars. Guy pulls up in an unmarked cop car, throws on his vest. So I know that something's going on. There's got to be gunshots. And apparently after asking, you know, they said 9 gunshots, there was a window front that was busted, and the guy there, Tim, you said today that the guy apparently did pass away, mm-hmm. the guy at the scene, but I tell you, I've never been that close to a body, a gunshot victim that had just been shot, and it just makes me think, I don't know what the city's coming to, but every night it seems... There's just
no. I was in the news this morning. Four murders within I don't know what 12 hours or something. It was unbelievable.
I mean, right now, I think it's Detroit and St. Louis for violent crime rate. I mean,
we passed Detroit.
Yeah,
the FBI came out with a report.
Every night, because I drive, I go out and drive at midnight, or if I drive the mornings, I go out at 3 a.m. and I always see coming up on the news. Two more bodies were found, and they're right next to me.
I don't think most people have seen. A dead person. I'm not talking about a funeral home. I'm just talking about on the street.
Just right there. He probably died about an hour or less before I got to see him. And that's just freaky. I mean, it kind of threw me off. I went home. I could have kept driving. It was about 12:31 a.m. and I kind of quit. I was like, I don't know. I couldn't focus after that because I don't know. Maybe some people can see a dead body. If you work in a hospital, my dad was an X-ray tech. He worked in the ER. He saw plenty of people come in that did make it. But I just saw this guy.
Did it ever cross your mind that while you were there that, ooh, the shooter is probably still right around here?
It did.
You could pick the shooter up.
Imagine that.
Hey, man, step on it. I just shot somebody.
Yeah. He gets in the car and it's like, he's got, what's that in your pocket? What's smoking for? Like, okay, this is going to be an interesting ride. And all of a sudden, it's collateral mm-hmm. with Tom Cruise.
I'll make this quick. I used to ride a lot with a couple of different cops. And one night, he just looks at me and says, you want to go to a murder scene? And I said, sure. We walk in the house, and I am 1 foot. I'm standing looking down over the guy who'd been murdered in his home. He's face down on the carpet, a pool of blood out from his head. And it did not bother me for some reason.
It didn't bother. See, I didn't see any blood, and it didn't really make my stomach churn. It just kind of threw me off. Because then, because all of a sudden, I'm thinking about who did it. Is the killer still out there? Cops, are you going to catch him? Because the way the cops went to the scene, I thought a cop had been shot. Because you just see the way cops. I mean, they had six.
Oh, they're
cops
all over.
Cars.
They're all over.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, mostly just a normal Uber week until last night at about midnight.
All right, so, you know how to wrap this up.
I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of.
All right, Dan Buffa. He's had enough of. We've had enough of. You've had enough of. And if you haven't, stick around because he'll be back again next Tuesday, courtesy of Window World. The number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. If you missed it yesterday, I read a terrific email from a lady who had discovered Ballast Dental Care. She had not been to the dentist. I'm pretty sure it was a female. Had not been to the dentist in 4 or 5 years. And what's interesting is, in your head, you're thinking, oh, I'm so embarrassed to go in there. I haven't been in 5 years to the dentist. What you have to remember is they've seen people who haven't been to the dentist for 20 or 25 years. You're not the worst case they've seen. They're not going to humiliate you. You've done that to yourself already. They're not going to chastise you. What they are going to do is get to work and get you back on track so you have a smile that you don't have to cover up every time you laugh or you have to be embarrassed about.
They'll get you back. They'll get your gums and your teeth back where they ought to be, back in shape. And the longer you put it off, folks, the worse it's going to be. It's not going to get reverse itself and get better. So my advice, my invitation, my suggestion is, and I don't care if I'm talking to you and you were at the dentist 6 months ago. Well, 6 months to 16, 20, 25 years, Ballast Dental Care. Make one appointment, even if it's just a cleaning and checkup and your teeth are fine. My money is on you dropping whoever your dentist used to be, because I don't think you've ever been in a dental clinic like this where they were as professional yet as, I don't know the word, soothing. It's a chairside manner. It's something about the place where you go in and you feel like you've been a patient for a long, long time, like you already know these people. It's the dental clinic you didn't think existed, and the place where never again will you be afraid or dread a dental appointment. I've been going there for 45 years. Ballast Dental Care, the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. Ooh, the Playhouse is here. What do you know? 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Tim McKernan. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Good evening, everyone. From the 590 The Fan, KFNS Studios in Kirkwood, I'm Tim Woodburn. It is 5 o'clock, 84 degrees outside. Under clearing skies in downtown St. Louis, we're just minutes away from hour number 3 of the large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinion. News, weather, and sports headlines coming your way directly, and two traffic updates in this 5 o'clock hour as well. Here's what's happening. 81-year-old comedian and actor Bill Cosby today was sentenced to 3